Today I want to talk about Luke 19. Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too was the son of Abraham." Jesus isn't saying that because of Zacchaeus doing what he's going to do, this extravagant outpouring, that salvation's come to his house. He's saying this is what it looks like when salvation's come to someone's house. This is a scripture that I'll reference again tomorrow, but I want to read to you my time with the Lord this morning. A lot of the Old Testament prophetic books are about Israel's up and down experience with the Lord. And Hosea is classic. Hosea, the theme of Hosea is the heart and the holiness of God. I mean, in one moment, God exhibits his frustration with them, and then the next moment, he's saying, "But how can I turn my back on you? How can I not love you? I will heal you." This is just verse 4 of chapter 14. "I will heal their apostasy, and I will love them freely." That doesn't mean just that I'll love them unconditionally. It means that I will love them without compulsion. I will love them without inhibition. I will not hold anything back because they've been imperfect. That's really important. We often love people with hesitation. We often love people with boundaries because they've hurt us before. And we're therefore going to be careful, and this is kind of what they've earned, and people have even written books about it, so we can now spiritualize it, that I'm going to love people with restriction. But this is what God's saying. I'm not going to hold anything back in my love for them. I just think that's amazing. That God can love us wholeheartedly while in the same conversation be talking to us about our messing up and how he wants to heal us of our apostasy or heal us of, there's a place in Jeremiah, heal our unfaithfulness. Not just our wounds, he wants to set us free. But I love that he loves us freely. Now this part of it is not where Christianity ends. We'll talk about the end game tomorrow. But surrender does start here. Extravagant surrender starts with a person understanding their own brokenness and their own sinfulness and encountering a God who loves them freely. And again, not just unconditionally, but wholeheartedly. I love that description of who God is. How big can God love? How exhilarated is he in his love? How fascinated is he in loving us? It's amazing. Zacchaeus, like Matthew, was not one of the most popular persons in Israel. He was among the most unpopular persons because he was a tax collector. And they were all cheats. They all worked for the Romans. They all took more money than they were supposed to take. The Romans were fine with that as long as they gave the Romans their cut. It was kind of like working for the mob. And all the Jews knew it. And so these people were really hated. But he had heard there was something going on in this guy's heart. Little Zacchaeus. There was something going on, like why did he want to catch a glimpse of Jesus? He had heard stories, kind of like how did Mary Magdalene end up in the household of a bunch of Pharisees? Because she was compelled by the stories she heard. That's why testimony is so powerful. But she had was compelled by the story she heard to put herself in that environment. People think, well, Zacchaeus climbed the tree so he could see because he's a little guy. There were other little guys in the crowd. I think that's true, but he also probably wasn't very welcome to mingle among the crowd. But the stunning thing is that here's this guy who everybody else had rejected, and yet there was a heart in him that was seeking the Lord. He wanted to know more. Guilt will drive you, that shame will drive you, rejection, all that stuff that's going on, God used. And so he gets up in this tree to catch a glimpse, and as Jesus is walking by, of all the people in the world, Jesus stops and points at him and says, I want to go to your house and have a meal with you. Now, the response of everybody is the same response they had towards Mary Magdalene. Does Jesus not know that this person who's washing his feet, wiping his feet with her hair and oil, is a sinner? They all got upset. Does Jesus not know that this man he's going to have dinner with is a sinner? Yeah, of course he did. Why did he stop? He only did those things he saw the Father doing. You understand? And so, why did he go out of the way to the woman at the well? This woman who was an outcast, who would only go in the middle of the day when it's 115 degrees so that she wouldn't experience more rejection. Why? The slight little move that Zacchaeus made towards Christ just to get a glimpse of him. But Jesus stopped and pointed up at him because Jesus wanted him to know and he wanted the whole flipping world to know. I want to be with you. I love you freely. There's something about you that fascinates me. I believe in you. And the response of that kind of free love, to being loved freely by God, is that Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to give away anything. Remember when the rich man came, Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom unless. He didn't say it to this guy. He just loved him freely. He pointed it out. He pointed it out in front of everybody who hated him so. But that took care of a lot. And in response to that, he voluntarily says, Lord, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if anybody I've taken advantage of as a tax collector, I'm going to give them four times back what I took from them. That, again, Jesus didn't require that. But that's what the wholehearted love of God provokes. It's kind of again like Mary Magdalene in Mark 14. When they rebuked her for the second time for wasting the oil which could have been given to the poor, and Jesus said, rebuke them, and said, what she's doing to me. And she's preparing me for burial. And what, and this extravagance, this waste, as you see it, wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, what she's done will be spoken of. Because you see, that's what salvation should look like. Jesus said, surely salvation has come to this household. Jesus said about Mary Magdalene, whenever the gospel is preached, her extravagance, her wasting is going to be proclaimed. I never hear anybody who's an evangelist talk about that story. We just want numbers, man. We want to add to the register. We want to be able to say 37,000 people got saved today. We ought to give them the whole story. And the whole story is not what God expects from them. The whole story is what they should and can expect from God. And when they get the whole story, then you get real disciples. They'll give away everything. They'll waste their life on him. More than's ever been expected. You don't have to ask them. They're running down the aisle to surrender more. They're looking for opportunities to be more obedient, to give more, to serve more. They're not drawing boundaries. They're lovesick. And lovesick is a virus that can only be caught by somebody who carries it. And Jesus is the carrier. Get close enough and you'll get it. And then everything else is a blur. Like, you'll be like Paul. People say that I'm mad. I'm crazy. But if I am, it's for God. For the love of Christ controls me. Amen? Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.